Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this worship service singing together from Psalter 163, stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. Apart from thee I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. 163, stanzas 1 and 2. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. We'll read through till verse 35. But first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention to you Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and presence among us in this morning hour. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, creator of all things and upholder of all things, in thee in whom we live and move and have our being, in thy mercy and in thy goodness, we may again, on the last Lord's Day of this year, in this morning, on thy day, enter into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. Lord, it is a token of thy long-suffering patience and mercy to unworthy sinners, because we have sinned everything away also in this past week again. It would only be just if thou would cast us all away. But what a wonder, what mercy, what long-suffering patience and mercy that thou art yet willing to speak unto us, to proclaim unto us the law, to teach us of our guilt, but also of the precious gospel, of that only way of salvation through the gift of God, that unspeakable gift whom we have remembered in this past week, that thou hast given thy only beloved Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Lord, we ask thee then, that in this morning, as we have come together in thy house, we ask thee for thy presence with thy Spirit to work mightily, to work irresistibly, to give life to spiritually dead ones, but also to care for those whom in thy grace have made alive. O Lord, we ask thee then that thou would teach and lead and guide, that we may be truly become guilty sinners at thy feet, looking up unto thee, from whence cometh all our help, especially for our never-dying souls. Lord, thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Unto whom else can we go? Thou alone art that overflowing fountain of all good and grace. Life is in thee, it's not in us. It's only death in us. And we need thy grace. We need thy Holy Spirit. We need thee to come to speak with power, to open our spiritually deaf ears, to truly hear who we are and who thou art through thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But also to enlighten our darkened, foolish, sinful, corrupt minds. But especially, Lord, also to renew our will that is wicked, our will that is against thee, because by nature we are born as enemies. There's no hunger for thee, no thirst for thee, no longing for thee. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then give life where there's only death, but also care for thy dear people, the little lambs and the sheep, those who are recipients of thy grace, but who may yet be looking within for so many things to find comfort, to find hope. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, bring them to a dead end of everything, that they cannot have any hope in self, even of the gifts of grace, but that they may be drawn and led as bankrupt, hell-worthy, guilty sinners before a holy and just God, to that only fountain of overflowing good, to him who is the consolation of Israel, to that only Savior. O Lord, we beg thee then, give life, but also draw to thyself, to thee in whom there is life. Thou hast said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Remember those who have come to an end in self by thy grace and by the teaching of thy Holy Spirit and are waiting upon thee, hoping, looking, longing, expecting, desiring a visit, that they come to thy house to behold the beauty of the Lord. O Lord, wilt thou come then with might and with power and reveal thyself to lost sinners, and that they may see thee, that their hope may be upon thee, and that thou would come and show thyself, thy beauties unto them, that they may receive that true comfort, because there is no comfort in self. There's no comfort also in all our experiences that thou works by thy grace. It's a blessing, but there's only one place, Lord, and that is in thee, upon that rock of salvation. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then draw sinners to that rock. And may we cry, Lord, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Wilt thou bring a hopeless, a helpless, and a hell-worthy sinner to that place where he can never bring himself? Oh, we beg thee, Lord, for thy grace, for the work of the Holy Spirit. We need the Lamb for our guilt, to be forgiven, to be washed, to be cleansed. But we need the Holy Spirit to apply, to renew, to sanctify, and to give those blessings alone of that true comfort. Lord, there's no hope in self, in ourselves as a congregation. We are sinful. Our hearts are desperately wicked. May we then together implore thee and beseech thee that thou would rend the heavens and come down among us this morning and give a blessing upon thy precious word. Visit us in thy mercy, and that we may have a good day in thy house, that we may be brought in the dust before thee with a broken heart, exalting, looking up, glorifying thee. Lord, we lay then before thee the whole congregation. Thou knowest all those who are yet dead, give life, but all those who have been made alive, but also those who have so many questions, all these riddles. Who am I? What is the true state with my soul? O Lord, wilt thou bless thy word richly then? Thy word is profitable for all things. And may riddles be solved, may questions be answered, but especially we beg thee that poor, needy sinners, hungry and thirsty ones, may receive a little food, a crumb from the Master's table, that there may be also a little joy, looking outside of self and looking upon that precious Son of God, that precious Lamb, the Redeemer, the only true mediator between a holy and just God and a lost and guilty sinner. Lord, help all thy servants throughout the entire world to preach thy word. Bless it richly, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that thy kingdom may come, that thy dear sheep would be gathered into that fold, as thou hast said that thou wilt gather them from the east, from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and thou wilt bring them, and there'll be one fold and one shepherd. Lord, remember also our denomination. We beg thee, Lord, thrust forth more servants into thy vineyard. Do wonders, Lord, in thy mercy and in thy grace. We beg thee, gladden us with the deeds of thy grace and works in the coming year, that there may be many students accepted into the theological school. Remember the student, Lord, help him. Help the instructors. Remember them all. And Lord, remember all thy servants. May we remain students at thy feet, like Mary, to be taught by thee to teach others. Lord, we beg thee that thou would also bless all mission work among Jew and Gentile throughout this world. Oh, we lay before thee also thy beloved people, the Israelites, the Jews. Lord, wilt thou take away the veil from their eyes, and that they may see that the New Testament that testifies of Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah. Oh, work mightily, irresistibly, powerfully among that people, Lord, for thy glory and for their salvation. But Lord, may we also lay before thee, especially the Bolivian people. Bless thy word richly to them also, Lord, that many of them may be born again and come to know that only precious Savior who came to this world to seek and to save sinners. Help thy servant there, Pastor Marco. Remember the elders and the deacons. Care for each one, but also the church workers and their family. Lord, help them. Help all thy servants, that we may be little instruments in thy hands for thy glory, for the coming of thy kingdom, for the salvation of sinners, and for the edification of thy dear people. Lord, remember all those who are mourning among us. Comfort them. All those who are sick and afflicted, bless the means. And may we ask thee also, especially again, remember Lucy Ann, a granddaughter. Help her, care for her, and bless the means that she may receive for her body, but also especially bless thy word for her soul. Remember her family. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. We are unworthy because we are a sinful people. But may we ask thee and beg thee to gather with us in this morning, and that thou would work irresistibly, renewing hearts, and that thy dear people may receive instruction, reproof if necessary, or correction, but also may it be for comfort, Lord. Oh, come, Lord, reveal thyself. Open our blind eyes to see thee and give faith, and that faith may be an exercise to look outside of self upon thee, that only precious Savior. Help thy servant, Lord, give him the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, that it all may be for thy honor, for thy glory, according to the meaning of the Spirit, and a blessing. Lord, we deserve nothing. We sin everything away, but may we ask and plead and beg upon him in whom thou art well pleased, who sits at thy right hand, thy beloved Son. Upon his righteousness and upon his blood we pray and ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, we will sing now the Song of Simeon to the tune of Psalter 411. The Song of Simeon, all stanzas. And the collections for this morning is first for the church and the second for the Student Support Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, the poet in Psalm 130 wrote, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning." Congregation, Christmas is past. We remember this past week the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how is it in your soul? Are you waiting upon the Lord? What we have read from Psalm 130, is this your heart, your soul? Are you waiting, hoping in his word, longing, hungering for him? Are you hoping in his word that you have received encouragement in, or hoping in the fulfillment of a promise that he has spoken unto you in his word? Having faith in the promise, but yet not having the substance of the promise. Having an encouragement, instruction in the word of God, or in the gospel especially, but not yet holding him who is the object of faith and hope. Are you like Simeon, waiting, longing for the consolation of Israel? Simeon had a promise, but he did not yet hold that child in his arms. And this is also in the life of grace. Receiving encouragement, receiving hope in the word, faith in the word, trusting in the word of God, but yet not having that child, so to speak, in those arms of faith. Abraham, as an example, Abraham received a promise, and he believed in the promise of God, and he staggered not. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. But then years and years later, he finally held that promised son in his arms. What a difference. There's a difference in being encouraged, hope, and true faith in the word and in God and even in the Savior. But there's also a difference of holding that child, of embracing that child with the arms of faith. Are you one of those who's waiting, longing, waiting for the consolation of Israel? When will he come? When will he visit me? When will he reveal himself unto me? When will he speak to my soul, and that I may, with those arms of faith, embrace him? Embrace him as my own Savior. I need a Savior. I need a Savior for my soul, for my sin. I need a Savior to be reconciled with God. Simeon was awaiting one upon the word of God. Jesus Christ was on his mind. Jesus Christ was the object of his affections. He was in his heart. He lived with a longing for the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not rest on a promise. He did not rest on any experiences. No, he needed Jesus himself. He needed the consolation of Israel, and he could have no peace, no joy, until he could see him and embrace him. And so this morning, with the help of the Lord, we would like to consider the history of Simeon waiting for the consolation of Israel, from what we read in Luke 25, verse 30. But right now, I will only read verse 27 through 30. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation." So the theme for this morning is Simeon meeting Jesus Christ. Simeon meeting the child Jesus Christ. Three thoughts. First, Simeon longs. He longs for Jesus. Verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." He was waiting, longing for the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thought is Simeon embraces Jesus. Verse 28, as we've read that, "Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God." And then Simeon testifies of Jesus. We think especially, for example, of verse 30, "For my eyes have seen thy salvation," and what follows in the song of Simeon. So Simeon meets the child Jesus. Simeon longs for Jesus. Simeon embraces Jesus. And Simeon testifies of Jesus. And so with the help of the Lord, our first thought this morning, Simeon longs for Jesus. Congregation, who is Simeon? There's many opinions. And we even sang a song. They wrote that he was a really old man. But we really don't know. There's not much in the Bible. And the commentators have many opinions of who Simeon really is. He's an unknown man to many, but he's known by God. So let us consider in the first place of who Simeon is and what God tells us of who Simeon is. What does the Lord say? What do we read in verse 25? "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." So who is Simeon? We first read he is a man. Maybe you say, really, is that important to us this morning? Congregation, he's a man. That means he's like you and me. He's a sinner. This man is a sinner. This man is created by God. He was born totally depraved, lost, spiritually dead. But we know from the context that he was made alive. He was translated from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. How do we know this? From what the Holy Spirit testifies, inspired the author to write about him. Simeon is a true Christian. He is a recipient of grace. We read, "The same man was just and devout." What a testimony of a man. What a testimony of a sinner. And this own testimony can only be by the grace, the wonderful works of God. Simeon lived in the ways of the Lord. He loved the Lord. He had awe for God. He had the fear of God in his heart. He served him. Simeon worshipped the Lord. He was not just a formal Christian. He was not just happy, so to speak, to come to church and go home again so his conscience was quiet. No. Simeon was devout. This means he was not someone who did all the right things and who did not have love for God. Simeon loved God, and therefore he did things which was right. Simeon was godly in his walk and in his talk because he was godly in his heart. His outward life, what you saw, what you heard, flowed out of him because of God's grace in him. He was just and devout. He was influenced by the Holy Spirit in a way that only one who lives close to the Lord can be influenced. May I ask you, how are you living? Can it be said of you? Can it be said of me? That man, that woman, that boy, that girl, that teenager, he or she is just and devout? Children of God, yes, you too, including myself, God sees us. Do we live as a just person? Do we live devout? God sees your life. He sees my life. Congregation, my friend, how are you living? Are you only living unjust and not devoted to God at all? You're only living devoted to yourself, to your own flesh, to your own lusts, living devoted to this world? May I read you a couple verses? if this is still you? Listen, 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Simeon longs for Jesus. His home is not in this world anymore. How did he live? What was on his mind? What was the center of the affections of his heart, his desire? Well, we read this in verse 25. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. Simeon was waiting. What does that mean? What does it mean to wait? Sometimes you do family visitations and you come to the home and you ask them and you ask them how it's for their soul, and they're saying, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for God to work in my heart. My friends, this is not that type of a waiting. This is a waiting with expectation. It's an active looking from the heart in faith, looking forward with expectation, with hope upon God, upon his words. It's a longing for something to happen or for someone to come. Simeon is waiting. He's longing. He's expecting. He's actively using the means of grace because he wants to see someone. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Who is the consolation of Israel? Who is that? Who is the only comfort in life and death? Who is the only one that can comfort our sinful, wicked hearts? Who is the only one that can comfort guilty ones, lost ones, bankrupt ones? There's only one. Simeon is waiting. He's waiting to see, to hold, to be revealed unto him, that precious Savior, Jesus Christ. He's longing. He's active. Simeon, as he prayed and lived with these thoughts and these feelings and these desires, then the Lord visited him and gave him a personal promise. Luke 2, verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a precious promise for Simeon. The Lord said, Simeon, you will not die physically until you physically see the Messiah, the consolation of Israel. Who is Simeon? He's longing. He's longing for that consolation. His hope is upon the promise. But he's not satisfied with the promise. He's not satisfied with all his experience. No, he needs the fulfillment of it. He needs that Savior himself, the object of the hope and faith. Simeon has no more hope in self. He's not looking within. How much misery do I have? How much faith do I have? What do I know about this? What do I know about that? It all came to insufficient. True blessings, congregation. But that's not the rock of salvation. There's only one rock. And Simeon knew this. He was ended for everything himself. He needed the consolation of Israel. Is that your heart, my friend? Waiting for the consolation of Israel. He longs with an intense desire in his soul to see the Lord Jesus Christ. He already saw him by faith in the Word, but he wants to see him physically. He wants to behold him. And Simeon's heart must have been filled with joy to see his Savior, the consolation of Israel. And with this promise, Simeon lives with joy, looking, longing, trusting in God to fulfill what he has promised. He must have thought, I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him. He who is the love of my soul. I'm going to see him soon. The Lord is true. He never lies. It's true. May I ask you, my friend, do you understand Simeon? Can you understand sin? Is that your heart? Is that your soul? That, yes, you look within. What is it all? It's all insufficient. I can't put any hope in my misery. I can't put any hope in texts. Yes, they're blessings. But I need him. I want to see him. I need him. I need a consolation for my soul. Can you understand it? Does your soul yearn for Jesus Christ? Do you have that life in your soul, or do you miss it? That's what separates congregation. That's really the deep core in the heart of those who are recipients of grace and those who are not the recipients of grace. This is what separates the precious and the vile, that clear mark of longing, hungering for the consolation for Jesus Christ. Did you pray before you came to church? Did you go on your knees? Lord, may I see him today. May I see him through the word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I have nothing to present. Nothing. Nothing. But I long. Lord, visit us. Visit me. Reveal thyself. Did you beg for the Holy Spirit to reveal the consolation of Israel for your soul this morning? The Savior of sinners for your soul. You need him personally. Have your spiritual blind eyes been opened to see all in self is insufficient, your sins? And have you been also taught that there's only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Born again sinners come to learn themselves as guilty, but they're also led to come to an end in self, because that's the way the Lord makes room for that only Savior, Jesus Christ, and they become a waiting people. They have some hope, some promises. Yes, it's true, and the Lord gives a little crumb here, a little crumb there to encourage them. But they want that only comfort. That only comfort in life and death. They want to know that they belong to the Savior. They want to see the Savior. They're waiting for a visit from him, that he would speak personally to their own souls and say, I am thy salvation. They're like what we read in the prophet Micah 7, verse 7. I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. Waiting is an act of faith. No, it's not sitting in your chair with your arms crossed and hopefully someday something will happen. No, it's active. Read Alexander Comrie in the ABCs of Faith today. Yes, I can give you a little homework. Read that chapter about waiting. It's a beautiful chapter. Read it today. Waiting is upon God, upon his word, and waiting for the fulfillment, especially waiting for the Lord himself. Let us return to the history in Luke 2 about Simeon. We read in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. It's remarkable how many times we read in this short piece about the Holy Spirit. Three times. In verse 25, Simeon had the Holy Spirit dwelling in him. In verse 26, Simeon received a promise by the Holy Spirit. And the same Spirit influences Simeon to go to where he will meet him whom his soul longs for. Simeon goes to the temple, children. We could say Simeon went to church. Simeon went to the place where the Lord is pleased especially to bless the means of grace, to reveal himself. Where did Simeon go? He went to the temple, to the place of worship, to the place where the Holy Spirit is delighted to work powerfully, not only to convict of sin, not only to reveal the gospel, but also to especially reveal the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit drew Simeon to that place where he would and he will meet him of whom he's waiting for, longing for. How did this happen? Why did Simeon go on this exact day to the temple? Did he have a vision? Did he hear a voice? No. The Spirit influenced his heart. Simply said, the Spirit in him gave him the urgency to go to the temple that day. Influenced him. We read in verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. And I would like to insert a little lesson here, especially for you, children of God. When you feel something in your heart, which is to the glory of God and for the good of others, do it. Obey that little voice. That may very well be the work of the Holy Spirit. Simeon felt it in his heart. He needed to go to the temple today. He felt it and he went. And on that exact day, when Joseph and Mary came to the temple, Simeon came to the temple. How was Joseph and Mary led there? They were in obedience to the law. They obeyed the law. They had to come to the temple to give a sacrifice for the purification. When a woman gave birth, she was unclean. And according to the law, now was the time was past of her uncleanness. And Mary and Joseph came to the temple. It was the exact time appointed that they need to obey the word of God. And so you can see in God's providence and by his Spirit and by his grace, Simeon came to the temple and Joseph and Mary came to the temple and they're in the temple. How old was that baby? Children, how old do you think the Lord Jesus was at this time? He was probably about 42 days or 6 weeks. He was circumcised when he was 8 days old, and Mary was unclean for another 33 days. There's another thought I would like to hold before you, congregation. See Mary and Joseph bringing that child. Who is that child, children, older ones? Is this child that they have, that they're carrying, does he have original sin? No, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He's a perfect child, not like you and me. We're born in sin, but this child is pure. And Mary had to bring her child who is pure as an impure child. We see the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was willing as a child. Also, in his humiliation, he came as the substitute for a sheep and he humbled himself. Because he is pure, he didn't really need this sacrifice, and yet he submitted as the Lamb of God. Simeon came to the temple. Simeon had a place of worship. What a blessing, congregation, that you have a place of worship where you can use the means of grace, where the Lord promises to be amid his people. Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord delights to meet his people in the worship services, in the official worship services. He delights to meet them through the preaching of the gospel. He delights to meet them through the sacraments of baptism and Holy Supper. The Lord reveals himself through the word and through the sacraments. He meets with them and he has communion. He reveals himself unto them. My friend, does your soul thirst for the living God? Do you long for the consolation of Israel, Jesus Christ? Do you desire to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Faithfully, and I believe you do, because this church is always filled, and I may thank you for that, but do it for your own soul. Faithfully use the means of grace. Faithfully and prayerfully attend the worship services. And listen to what we read in Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. Think of the blessing of what Thomas missed. The Lord Jesus Christ came. He visited his disciples. Thomas wasn't there. He missed meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. So how was the Lord Jesus revealed to Simeon? Did Joseph and Mary say, people, look, this is the child. No, we don't read that in the Word of God. We don't read that. How did Simeon know that this child, that this poor couple was coming? And in their arms, how did he know that he was the Messiah, the consolation of Israel? How did he know? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. What beauty did Jesus, what beauty did Simon see in this child? What did he see? What did he see in that little child of those common people? Was there something special about him physically? No. He didn't look like any other child. Isaiah 53 verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire. There's no physical beauty in this child, and yet there is such a beauty. There is such riches in this child. And to even mention a few, we need sermon upon sermon to preach about the beauties of this child. But Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, saw this child in the arm of these two poor common people. And he knew that's him. He saw in this child which no natural eye saw by God's grace and by the Spirit, by faith. He looked at this child and he knew it's him. It's him. How precious, congregation, is that you and I have the Word of God. Because through the Word of God, we can also see. See, he's in the Word. And he must be also in the preaching. He must be lifted up, that precious child, Jesus Christ, so that poor, needy sinners that come to God's house wanting to see him may see him through the Word preached by the power of the Holy Spirit. But also how necessary, not only the Word, but the child, him who is the consolation of Israel, but also the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Lamb, and we need the Spirit. They work together to save sinners, to comfort sinners, and that sinners would receive the consolation of Israel. Oh, what a blessed work of Jesus Christ, this child. But oh, what a blessed work also of the Holy Spirit. Many people were in the temple on that day, we may believe, as any other day. Many other people. Many people. As today, there's many people gathered together in churches to hear the gospel, to hear the word of God. But how many? How many come with a hunger, with a prayer, with a longing? Lord, may I see him. May I behold the beauty of him. Why are there so many gathered under the word, but no longing? No longing in their heart for him who is the consolation of Israel. The natural man is blind. Blind to his need. Blind to what he is. Blind to that he's under wrath. Blind to a holy and just God. And he doesn't see himself. He knows that here he's a sinner. And he hears about the Savior. But it doesn't enter his heart. There's no need. There's no beauty. There's no hunger, no thirst. The natural man is blinded by the God of this world. He hears about Jesus, but he has no need. He's not lost. He's so-so. And he doesn't need a perfect Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. The Lord Jesus was in the temple. He had been born. He was in the temple, and people were there and looked at him and had no need. It's an illustration of you and me by nature. John 1 verse 10, 11. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Or has it become different in your heart? By God's grace, do you long for this child? There were people who were working in the temple. doing all the right things, following all the rules, doing everything exactly how it had to be, but they're missing the heart of grace, missing the heart that Simeon had, longing for the child, longing for the consolation of Israel. Is that you? The promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was present in the temple. And we may believe, according to his own promise of Matthew, that he's in the congregation, that he comes in the worship service. He's there. But have you met him? Have you seen him? Do you long for him? What a difference grace makes. That's the difference. It's grace, and it's our guilt, but it's grace that makes the difference. When the Holy Spirit works, he renews and he makes room, there comes a place where there's longing, a longing for the consolation of Israel. Do you long? Is there a longing for reconciliation with God the Father? Is there a longing for the consolation of Israel? Is there a need in your heart for Jesus Christ, my friend, or not? Have you come to the end of 2024 and there's no hunger for him whom you have heard in the preaching throughout the years of Jesus Christ? Or is there? Is there? Can it be testified of you? Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus. As it was testified of this woman, how is it with your heart today at the end of this year? Do you long for Jesus? And those who are genuine seekers by God's grace shall also become finders. God promises it. Jeremiah 23 verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with your whole hearts. Let us return to Luke and the history of Simeon. Simeon sees that child. What does he do, children? What did Simeon do? That brings us to our second thought. But let us first sing from Psalter 188. Psalter 188, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. Psalter 188, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Simeon longs for Jesus. Maybe ask, how may I know if I'm born again? How may I know if I'm a recipient of God's grace? Then you also understand something of Simeon's heart. There's a longing for that precious Savior. He's in the preaching. He must be. He must be in the preaching. He must be lifted up, that precious consolation of Israel. But do God's people always see him? Do they always see him? God is free. God is free. He's free to reveal him at his time and his way, more often or less. That's the first thing. But maybe sheep, maybe lamb, maybe he's hiding his face because of some sin. Because of some sin in your life, you long for him. But is he hiding his face? You don't see him. He's there. He's in the worship service. He's in the preaching. You don't see him. Search your heart. Or maybe you need to learn more lessons. Maybe you're still looking so much within. Simeon wasn't looking within. He was looking without. He was looking to him. He was looking to the consolation of Israel. And he saw him. Simeon saw him. He longed for the child. And he saw him. And we read in verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. What will one do? What will a poor, guilty, wretched, bankrupt sinner do when he sees him with the eye of faith, through the word or through the sacraments? What did Simeon do? Did he just go home? Did he tell his family, if he had a family, I've seen him. No, he didn't. He couldn't go home yet. He couldn't go home. What did he want to do? What did he have to do? He wanted to hold the child. He had to hold the child. He had to hold the rock of his salvation. He couldn't go home. He couldn't leave. He saw him. He saw the child, the Savior, the consolation of Israel, his hope, his center of his love, his life, his everything. He saw him as the one he needed, the mediator, the pure one, the holy one. That one would be the Lamb of God, the one that would pay for all his sin, the one that would reconcile him with God. He had to embrace him. No, he wasn't told, see me now, go embrace him. It came out of his heart, out of his being. It just flowed. He went, and he took him up in his arms. Can you imagine that? What a scene. Simeon, he who longed for Jesus, he's now holding that little child. And this week I could hold some of my little grandchildren. It's precious. But oh, to hold this child, that's precious. That's life. That's everything. No other child compares to him, to hold him. Imagine what joy must have been in the heart of Simeon. And you can only understand this joy yourself if you experience this yourself. But to see him and then to embrace him. I think of those men that traveled to Emmaus. And the Lord Jesus preached to them about himself, going through the word of God. Here he is, preaching to them about Jesus. And their eyes were opened, and they saw him. What was the result? Their hearts burned within them. They're like Simeon. Simeon embraced this child, Emmanuel. Who is this child in his arms? He's the Son of God. He's the Redeemer. He's the Savior of sinners. He's the consolation of Israel. He's the hope. He's the life. He's everything. Simeon could not contain his joy. He had to. He longed to. And he takes this child and he embraces him. Does it happen today? Does this still happen today? Children, older ones, can this still happen? Does it? You say the Lord Jesus ascended. He's physically in heaven. No one can hold him. True. And yet it still happens. It happens in the soul of sinners that they see him, they embrace him. They see him through the word. They see him in the sacraments, and their hearts go out to him. They embrace him, so to speak, with those arms of faith. And they hold him. And they love him. I think of the Song of Solomon. It's an illustration. Remember? The bridegroom came to the bride's house and knocked on the door. She was in her bed. She didn't want to get up. And he left. He left. The bridegroom left. And she felt in her heart, I want to see him. She felt guilty. She loved him. She desired him. And she went out, but he was gone. Gone. What did she do? Just go back in bed? No, she couldn't. She couldn't. She went on the streets and she said, have you seen him whom my soul loves? Have you seen him? I want to find him. I want to see him. I want to talk to him. Have you seen him? And those others asked him, how is your beloved fairer than others? Oh, she could answer, how is he fairer, child of God? Answer for yourself, how is he fairer than any other child, any other person in the whole world? Oh, he's the fairest of all. He's altogether lovely. He's beautiful. He's pure. He's glorious. He's holy. He's sinless. He has righteousness to cover. He has blood to cleanse. And she had to find him. She went to the watchers, said, have you seen him? Have you seen him whom my soul loves? And then she found him. She found him. As you read in Song of Solomon 3 verse 4. I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. Do you know that? Have you seen him? You just want to hold him. You love him. You don't want to let him go. You had such a good church service. You didn't want to go home. Do you want to sit and listen about him, that Savior? Or you sat at the Lord's Supper, and through those signs, that blood, that broken bread, you saw him. And you just wanted to stay there. You wanted to sit there, but you had to go. You had to leave. Do you know what it is? To hold him, to embrace him. Your heart loves him. Thomas Boston said, what is faith? It is but the daily traveling between a sinner's emptiness and the fullness that is in Jesus Christ. It is meeting Jesus Christ as a poor and guilty sinner and embracing him as the rich Savior for wretched ones. My friend, do you understand a little something in your life of the heart of Simeon? Do you long for the Lord Jesus? And do you, have you embraced him? Embraced him. Not telling anyone else. Not even daring to claim anything. But your arms went out, so to speak. And your heart went out to him. The Holy Spirit works in hearts and gives a need for Jesus Christ. He works in hearts and gives eyes to see him through the word. He gives hearts that believe in him by the gift of faith. He gives feet to go to him, and he draws them to himself. He gives a heart to believe in him, a heart that longs to embrace him, a heart to follow him, to obey him, to serve him. Life is in him. He is the loving kindness. He is everything. Simeon embraces Jesus Christ. My friend, may I ask you, on the last Sunday, this morning of this year, what think ye of Jesus Christ? What think ye? No, not of yourself. Just this one question. What think ye of Jesus Christ? Can you confess? He's my beloved. He's altogether lovely. Has he drawn you to himself as a lost sinner, and have you, with those poor beggar arms and hands, embraced him, holding him, loving him, cherishing him? Luke 2 verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. And then Simeon also spoke. He testified of Jesus. Could you imagine this man holding this child? He has to speak. His heart overflows. His heart overflows. What incredible joy must have filled this man in congregation. When you may see him through the word by the power of the Holy Spirit, there is no joy in this world that compares to that. That's life. That's everything. That's joy unspeakable. And Simeon, this man, this sinner, this wretched bankrupt sinner, then speaks and says, what we read in verse 28 and following, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. He saw it. He saw it with his physical eyes, but he saw it with those eyes of faith also. And Simeon simply said, Lord, I saw him. I saw him now. Thou hast promised I would see him. I saw him. Lord, thou hast fulfilled thy promise to me. Thou art faithful. Thou art good. Now take me home. Simeon wants to go home. Can you understand that? I can a little. Because when you see him and when you can embrace him, that's a little foretaste of heaven. And then you long to be delivered from all your sin, all your wretchedness of sinning against such a good, a precious, a loving Savior. Lord, take me home. I don't want to sin anymore. I just want to live perfect because thou art so worthy. He testifies. He has to. He speaks. His heart overflows. And we don't have time to go into the rest of what he all said. But my friend, do you long for Jesus? My prayer is that through the preaching, that God would, by his Holy Spirit, give much opening to boldly and to preach the precious riches of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, congregation, if there's souls hungry and longing to see him, and if this congregation would be on their knees with a hunger to see him, then God would direct his sinful servant to preach and to proclaim the beautiful gospel. And then poor sinners will also see him. It needs to begin on your knees, on your knees, on my knees, by the grace of God. Children of God, may I ask you, why do we speak so little of him? I look at myself also. You say, well, you're a missionary. You spoke a lot about him. Hearts of God's servant can also be so hard, so cold, and their mouths can be so shut. I'm like you. I need God's grace. But why? Why do we speak so little of him? Why? Why is there so little zeal? Do we want to share it with others? Search your own heart. Simeon longed for Jesus Christ. Simeon met him. He saw him. He embraced him. And he had to speak of him. May the Holy Spirit work mightily, irresistibly. And lost sinners would long for him. And longing sinners would meet him. And meeting sinners would embrace him. And embracing sinners would testify of him for the glory of God. For him. For him. My friend, are you waiting? Are you waiting? Are you one of those waiting ones? Are you a recipient of God's grace? What are the marks? Godly sorrow for sin and hunger and thirst for God, longing for the Father's favor for communion. Is that you? And maybe you say, but I don't know him as my Father. I don't know that Savior as my Savior, my Savior. I can't say that. And maybe then you come to the place, I don't have grace. My friend, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Do not deny what God has given. What is the lesson for you this morning? To be waiting. To be like Simeon, actively musing the means of grace. Faithfully, prayerfully, looking up, waiting for him. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on that precious Savior. We read in Isaiah 40 verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Simeon waited upon what God has said, and God fulfilled it. A waiting one became a joyful one because of God. My friends, I leave you with a verse from God. Psalm 27 verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of heaven and earth, what wonders of thy grace. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that by thy word and spirit, that thou would reveal thyself to sinners, and that thou would give that grace of faith to not only be looking within, but to be looking without, to see thee, to see that precious Savior. Oh Lord, reveal him. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Give grace to repent. Give grace of faith. Give grace to look upon him, but also to embrace him. And Lord, give also to thy people not only a visit again and again, but also a heart for the glory of thy name and for the salvation of sinners, that we would testify of him. Lord, forgive our many sins. Keep us in this day, but they'll bring us back again tonight. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us sing with closing from Psalter 415. Psalter 415, stanzas 1 and 10. Unto thee, O Lord Jehovah, do I lift my waiting soul. O my God, in thee I trusted. Let no shame now o'er me roll. Psalter 415, what follows in stanzas 1 and 10. Thank you. congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.